Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined today by good friend and co-host Trey Watkins. Trey, hope the holidays treated you well. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did. It was a good time just to lounge around, watch some regular Christmas movies and eat some good food. So all in all, I had a really good Christmas.
Nice, sounds good. Any big time presents that you got? Any new toys?
Jeez, it's making me sound like a child. But seriously, I ended up getting some new clothes that I I'm actually happy about that.
My favorite thing to get now for like that's like physical for like a young adult Christmas is socks. I love socks. I love like festive socks with different patterns on them. And I like receiving glassware, like cups and stuff. So my Yetis, I got a bunch of mainly cash, which was nice. So my Yetis in the mail and, sorry for the distraction. I got in bigger news, I paid for it. So I guess it's kind of my Christmas, but I got a Mac. So that's coming at some point. So,
that's nice.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Yeah. So at some point, I think I'm going to keep using this computer for podcasting just because everything's set up on it. But at some point I'll figure out how to use the Mac for it.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Trey. Football. Man, feels like this season's never going to end.
Gosh, dude.
I don't know if it feels that way for you, but I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, this week's the last week because I was like, yeah, season ends. Season ends usually around New Year's. Nope. That's not the way the NFL works anymore. The NFL season is 18 weeks long now, and we've got two more weeks. So I figured today we'll just talk a little bit about week 16. But anyhow, I just thought today would be a good day to go over some of week 16's matchups. And let's start with the Titans, obviously getting a big win on Christmas Eve, right? That was when that game was played.
It was the day before Christmas Eve.
Day before Christmas Eve. Now, hand up, I did not get around to watching this one, but from what I heard, the story of this game was that the Jimmy Garoppolo experience came around in a bad way, and AJ Brown returned, and what a night he had. 11 receptions, 145 yards, and a touchdown. Big night for him. Do you think with his return, the Titans offense is back on track now heading into the playoffs?
Well, it depends, and that depends probably on two things. One, if Todd Downing can get out of his own way as a play caller, because there are some times, and it was magnified during that 49ers game, but it's been going on throughout the year consistently that Todd Downing literally runs into some rough patches as a play caller, whether it's telegraphing plays with specific personnel or not feeling the flow of the game, calling plays that shouldn't be called in specific situations. And even during the 49ers game last Thursday night when the Titans were down their second string or their first and second string off of the tackles and their first string left guard, Todd Downing was extremely terrified to run any sort of plays that would require Aaron Brewer and Dylan Raidens to pass protect or have some sort of important role in the play. So, and it handicapped the offense until Todd Downing decided in the second half, okay, if we keep, you know, calling plays like this, we're not going to win the football game. So he decided to start throwing the ball to AJ Brown, trying to get AJ Brown involved. And look what happened. He went off 60 targets, 11 catches, a buck 45 and a touchdown. He really took over the game in the second half and was the story. Or really, yeah, was the story as to why the Titans really found some more success offensively after that brutal first half in which they didn't score a single point. So I think if Todd Downing can really get out of his own way as a play caller, and just try to stay away from the weird mistakes that he makes, personnel, all that type of jazz that would take too long to really explain on this short podcast that we have. If he can get out of his own way from that, then I think this offense will be great. Also, the second thing is that you really need Julio Jones to really, you know, deliver something at this point, because it can't just be the AJ Brown show. There has to be some sort of contribution for Julio Jones, you know, from Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry has to get back, and he has to look, you know, not like a shadow of himself. So I said two things. Those are three things, but if those three things can happen, then I think the offense will be fine. But, you know, it's hard to get an offense right on track with, what, 2 weeks left until the playoffs start, maybe even potentially 3 weeks into the Titans' next playoff game or the Titans' first playoff game. So just a lot of things that are, you know, swirling around and are contributing to the potential, you know, revival of the offense. And so we'll just have to see.
Okay. Yeah. I think that all those points are well made, Trey. I think the one impressive thing throughout all this is how consistently good the Titans defense has remained all the way through. Took care of the 49ers running game. Not much happened there. Their leading rusher only had 45 yards and a touchdown. I believe that's Jeff Wilson, I want to say. As I pull up the player card, yes, Jeff Wilson, a player I am not as familiar with, but now I am. He was shut down by the Titans on the night before Christmas Eve, and the Titans take care of business. All right, let's move to a pretty disappointing game for the Cleveland Browns on Christmas Day. Baker Mayfield has one of the worst games of his career, throws three really bad interceptions, four actually, and the Packers end up winning 24-22. Now, this is not to say the Browns didn't play a good game. Their ground game was prolific. Mm-hmm. Chubb, 17 attempts, 126 yards, and a touchdown. But what really surprised me, Trey, I don't know if you watched this game or not, but was at the end, they finished off the game with three straight Baker throws. Yeah. And I'm surprised that they didn't keep going with the running game, because I think Nick Chubb definitely could have gotten them into field goal range, and this thing could have ended up a different way for the Browns. But here the Browns are with their season not over yet, surprisingly. The AFC North is still kind of open. If they won two games, not a lot has to go their way, and they could be a playoff team potentially, but I don't see them winning two games. They just feel like a totally lost team at this point in the season.
Yeah, I didn't watch that Browns game much. I did find a way to stick around during the end, but I think for the most part is that the outrage for those three straight Baker throws, I think we have to put maybe a little bit of context with that. Mainly because the point that where the Browns were, you know, on the side of the field and how much time was left, you still need to throw the ball at some point if you want to get into that range for a potential game-winning field goal or even a touchdown if events unfolded that way. So, but the three straight throws, yeah, that was a real questionable thing Kevin Stefanski did. And of course, it would bring questions because he threw four picks. Baker was bad that day. He was bad. I believe he threw a touchdown. I'm not sure. But for the most part, Baker was horrible on Saturday against the Packers. And it just really goes to show that the Browns, you know, offensive juggernaut that they should have in theory, or they should have had in theory when they had Jarvis Landry, they had Odell Beckham Jr., they had that offensive line. They had Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They have David Njoku. They have, you know, some more depth behind Landry and Beckham Jr. Or they did have some more depth behind Landry and Beckham Jr. It should have been much better than that. I mean, this offense should have been one of the best in football. because they just have all the pieces. It's just that the main component, you know, at the end, which really, you know, was that Baker Mayfield just wasn't that good, and he still isn't that good. And I think the Browns are starting to realize that, because they're starting to take a lot of responsibility away from Baker Mayfield in important situations when it comes to throwing the football. So it'll be fascinating to see what the Browns do moving forward at the quarterback spot, because we're coming up on, I believe, this offseason is the year where the Browns have to decide whether to pick up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option. And fifth-year options for what, top five, top 10 picks are insanely expensive. So the Browns, they're going to have to figure out what they want to do at the quarterback spot moving forward, because, I mean, the Packers game was one, you know, singular performance by Baker that was really bad, but it was just one performance in a vast mirage of performances that Baker has proven that he's just not the guy. So, like I said, it'll be fascinating to see what the Browns do at the quarterback spot before, because if they can add a solid quarterback option, then they obviously jump up to one of the best teams in the AFC, because their roster is just so loaded and so talented at almost every single spot. It's just complicated to get an option like that, though. So luckily for them, they should have some options. Maybe this offseason if they decide to move on. But if they don't, then they're just going to have to set their eyes square on the offseason after that, draft, trade, free agency, whatever comes up. But they just got to move on from Baker Mayfield, I think, if they really want to envision and see the vision of their team come to fruition, because they have the pieces. They just need to get the quarterback spot right.
Yeah, you know, it can't be overlooked too that the Browns are dealing with a ton of COVID issues right now. So yeah, are a lot of teams in the league, but they were missing most of their offensive line coming into this game. And that just speaks to the tremendous depth they have up front, the way they were able to kind of push the Packers around. On the Packers side, was this Aaron Rodgers' best game statistically? No, but he looked like the MVP, threw three touchdowns, looked really good, had an insanely efficient first half, kind of slowed down in the second half, but still got the job done and had to do it on his own for the first time in a little while. The Packers running game got quiet, only 66 yards for Aaron Jones, only 41 for AJ Dillon. So it wasn't the biggest day on the ground for the Packers, but they get the win and they clinch now a playoff spot. The NFC is quickly just running through the NFC playoff teams. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the NFC today, but it should be noted that the Cowboys, the Packers, the Cardinals, the Rams, and who else? The Buccaneers have all clinched the playoffs. So 5 out of 7 teams in the NFC are set, whereas the AFC, of course, is much more wide open. Let's take a look now at a team that did clinch a playoff spot, though, in that won their division for the 6th straight time, the Kansas City Chiefs. And while, yes, you might look at Patrick Mahomes' stat line and say, oh, 258 yards, it's not that impressive. Well, it was. He looked really good, Trey, when I watched this game. The offense looked really good. They lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire to what looked like a potentially serious collarbone injury, so that hurts them. But Damian Williams and Derek Gore have both, I want to say Derek. Hopefully I got that right. Yes, Derek Gore indeed. Both looked good in their roles for the Chiefs. The defense continues to be locked down. They took care of Ben. They didn't let him do anything. He can't really do anything, but the Steelers running game didn't get going. The Steelers can't stop a run. They got gashed on the ground. And even without Travis Kelce, this offense looked good and put up 36 points. And if it just feels like the Chiefs are back to being contender status, and I'm not going to take anyone but them out of the I think they are a lock to be in the AFC conference championship game at this point.
Yeah, and it just speaks volumes to, you know, how good of a coach Steve Spagnuolo is in terms of contributing to the turnaround the Chiefs have had as a team overall, because during the first couple weeks of the season, the one of the probably the biggest story about the Chiefs was the fact that the offense couldn't really do anything. They were too in love with the big play down the field. Teams were running out a lot of cover two and forcing the Chiefs to take what they were given, you know, underneath those cover two defenses. And the Chiefs just weren't doing that. But the other big story was the fact that their defense literally could not stop a fly. Their defense was probably one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my years of, you know, experienced years of watching football, being able to comprehend it clearly. That was one of the worst defenses I've ever seen. But it seems like after that loss to the Titans, things just click. You know, somebody just had it with a weird snap of a finger, and that defense just started playing lights out football. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what magic Steve Spagnuolo did or went through it to just make this defense start playing lights out football, but it did. And I don't know. I mean, it's just an incredible turnaround from that unit that looked like one of the worst units in the history of the sport. You know, just what, maybe a month and a half ago? So it's an incredible turnaround. But and that's just, you know, that alludes to what you said, Eric. The Chiefs are back to being in the contender status, you know, among the teams or among the rest of the league. When you think of contenders, you think of Tampa Bay, you think of Green Bay, potentially Dallas. You know, those are the teams you think of as teams say, okay, we could potentially see those teams in the Super Bowl, you know, or they could potentially knock off another superpower from the other conference. The Chiefs are squarely in that conversation now, and I think they're squarely in that conversation to be alluded as maybe the best team in all of football. And actually, maybe not maybe. I think they are the best team in football right now. Both sides of the ball are clicking. Patrick Mahomes is back to taking what defenses are giving him, and it's forcing teams to be in some sort of a dilemma. Do you let the Chiefs dink and dunk their way down the field? Well, not dink and dunk, but you get what I'm saying. You know, take what they get with the short passing game, whatever, you know, they can have and make their way down the field. Or do you try to get aggressive and try to stop that underneath, but potentially leave yourself exposed down the field because they have so much speed and athleticism at receiver? It's just putting opposing defenses in a bit of a wrinkle now. And that's really what this whole offense with Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and the rest of that unit, that's what this offense is about. Create insane mismatches and make defenses scratch their head all game long as to how they're going to stop them. So it's been an incredible turnaround from the Chiefs on both sides of the ball, you know, specifically the defense. And you know, I'll say it again, they're back to contender status, like you said, Eric. And I can't imagine anybody else representing the AFC in the Super Bowl right now at this point. It might be premature, but I just don't see how anyone else is beating them right now.
Yeah, and having Travis Kelce out and having Tyreek Hill miss some time this year has given time for guys like Mecole Hardman to step up and Byron Pringle to become part of the game plan, although he still struggles with some drops. And Derek Gore, who was part of the receiving game big time on Sunday, it just does feel like we're heading back for the Chiefs to be in the AFC championship game. All right. Yeah. I want to discuss some breaking news with you really quick. The Colts, I want to talk about them, but they have just placed Carson Wentz on the COVID list. Wentz, of course, is unvaccinated. So if that's a positive test, he is out 5 days. He is out 10 days. If it's a negative test, of course, that goes down to 5 and maybe potentially he can play Sunday. But I mean, this is the least surprising news of the whole year. If a big time quarterback was going to get COVID, it was probably going to be the unvaccinated quarterbacks, which Aaron Rodgers got COVID. Kirk Cousins somehow hasn't gotten it yet, but now Carson Wentz has COVID, and the Colts are feel a little doomed to me, which sucks because I was just about to talk them up as a team I could see contending legitimately in the AFC. They were playing so well, and that win against the Cardinals was such a big boost to their resume. But now Carson Wentz is out, and what a stupid, selfish decision by him not to protect himself and get vaccinated, because now he's potentially cost his team a playoff berth.
Yeah, and that was the message that was sent to the unvaccinated players in the offseason when the NFL gave, you know, the NFL gave players this choice: as if you want to get vaccinated, you can do this, you can do this, you won't have to sit out this amount of time, da 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 da. But if you're unvaccinated, then you're going to get this, you're not going to get this, and you're going to sit out longer than those people who are vaccinated. It was a clear message. And the players that decided to stick with it, they're, you know, bearing the fruit of the consequences right now. Darius Leonard is going to bear the fruit of the consequences. He tested positive before the Colts played the Cardinals on Christmas Day. He was out against the Cardinals, and he's probably potentially going to be out this Sunday too, although that has, you know, potentially be determined because the new protocols and everything with the CDC and everything. Well, we'll save that for another day, but this was the decision, and this was the choice that players were given back in the offseason. And many players smartly made the decision to get vaccinated, and they don't have to sit out as long as people who are unvaccinated. But most importantly, they're protecting themselves against severe complications of COVID-19. Unvaccinated players are taking this weirdly stupid, self-righteous or fake self-righteous stand against the big old bad guy vaccine, and they're bearing the consequences, like I said. So, you know, until these unvaccinated players truly realize the situations that they're potentially putting their teams in, like Darius Leonard did with the Colts, like Cole Beasley just did with the Bills, and just like Carson Wentz is potentially doing with the Colts, which is even more important since he's the starting quarterback and that's the most important position on the field, then they're going to suffer the consequences and their teams are going to suffer as well. So it's, like I said, it's their choice. If they want to, you know, go through with this and hurt their team in the process, be my guest. Just know is that your decision, you're the one who put your team in this horrible, well, not horrible, but difficult spot. And you'll have to answer to that. So it's their fault, you know, vaccinated people, it's their fault. And until they realize that, then they're just going to be causing their teams a lot of stress and pain. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Colts here the rest of the way. If we take a look at their schedule and who they have remaining here, they will take on Las Vegas this week, Jacksonville next week. So is this to say Sam Ehlinger can't beat both those teams? No, he could potentially, but there's a much less of a chance of that. And hopefully Carson Wentz will be back for the Jaguars game. So, but things are going to come down really to the wire for this spot, because basically what this does is if the Colts lose this week, that puts the Raiders, who just beat the Broncos, and we aren't going to spend a ton of time on the Raiders today, but that would put the Raiders in the driver's seat there with the tiebreaker at 9-7 and in the playoffs, and with a chance to win and get in and in the following week. So this is a huge week for the Raiders, and that becomes one of the hugest games of the week. And Derek Carr had a very good game Sunday. The Broncos didn't show up. That was predictable. But that game was a game that neither team really wanted to win. But in the end, when he needed to, Derek Carr took care of business. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. The next game I want to talk about, too, before we get out of here, is one, the Bills taking on the Patriots. Bills winning that 133-21. This was one of Josh Allen's best games of the year. 314 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, was in total control of the ball through the air. Looked really good when he ran the ball too. And the Bills are just starting to, lots of people are overlooking the Bills, I think. I know that they have some tough losses this year, but they are also rounding into form. And them going on a run this offseason, I think, is very, very – this postseason is very, very likely.
Yeah. What I was about to say, it slipped my mind.
It's okay. I'll add while you think here that I thought the Bills' defense looked really, really good against the Patriots, the best they've looked in a few weeks, and the offense really came to play. Specifically Isaiah McKenzie, who has become a much bigger part of the offense over the past few weeks. 11 receptions, 125 yards, a huge day for him. You add another receiver to Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders, providing you with kind of a deep threat slot guy. Eventually, I would imagine, what's the status of Cole Beasley right now? Is he going to come back for the playoffs?
He tested positive, I believe, and he's unvaccinated. So I'm not sure when he tested unvaccinated. So it would have to depend on when, of course, the virus leaves his body and when the, positive test took place. Because if it was closer towards the end of the week, then
he'll be back for the playoffs. He hasn't faced an injury. Okay.
No, right. I'm speaking, just
for I was just curious. I didn't know if he had been injured or not. I'll be honest, Trey. Yeah. This has been the toughest year to keep up with injuries.
Yeah.
It's just like all over the place because everybody's got COVID and some people are injured, some people have COVID. It's just really hard to track for us amateur football podcasters out here. Yeah, they're going to get Cole Beasley back, and I just think they're going to be a tremendous team going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and if we saw what the Bills did, and I believe Charles Davis mentioned it on the broadcast during the game on Sunday, is that against the Patriots, the Bills were hell-bent on trying to put the Patriots in so many third and long situations. And when they did, the Patriots could not do a single thing. There are not many teams that can consistently – or have the players, the scheme, or the skill that can, to consistently bail themselves out on third and long situations. There's just not many teams. I can only think of a handful, the Chiefs, maybe, Cowboys, I think, Packers, of course, even the Bucks, but that's difficult now to envision because Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are all dealing with injury situations. But it's just so hard to consistently convert on third and long situations. And what we saw with the Bills did is that when they forced the Patriots in those third and long situations, that's when their passers really came alive. And I think that's probably the strong suit of that defense at this moment in time is that front seven, that front four, Ed Oliver, the rest of those guys up front, they can cause some havoc when they're able to pin their ears back and rush the passer. So teams that struggle to stay on schedule in first and second down, you're going to be playing right into the Bills' hands defensively if you keep getting into those third and long situations. And I think that's what really made that Bills' defense so successful on Sunday. Also, the fact that Isaiah McKenzie turned into the best slot receiver we ever seen. I didn't expect that game out of him, at all. That was the most unexpected thing on Sunday, so honestly.
All right, here we go. Finally, the performance I most wanted to talk about. The Ravens never really stood a shot in this game. Let's just get that off our chests. I know that they were playing Josh Johnson, but what Joe Burrow did passing in this game is incredible. Yes. 525 yards, 4 touchdowns, the best day of his career. And I just need to ask you, Trey, I heard someone I trust and respect, Greg Rosenthal, say Joe Burrow is a top 5 NFL quarterback right now. Mm. Personally, I don't agree with that statement. I think I could probably put 5 people in front of him. But where do you have Joe Burrow in the echelon of quarterbacks right now in the NFL? Because he's got to be up there right now.
I think at worst, he's like top 11 or 12. I think that's at worst right now. At best, like, you know, like you said, I think he's top five at best. But it's just hard to pinpoint really where he is right now for me, since I don't really engage in the whole art of ranking quarterbacks and positions and all that stuff. I do sometimes. I just don't do it consistently. But, yeah, I think he's top five at best, because what he's doing right now, he's been – I think he's been much better than his rookie year, honestly. And I think – and I'm not sure if this is right or not. Maybe the offensive line has been better this year. But he's had Joe Mixon healthy for the majority of the season, which just hasn't been the case, in, you know, since Joe Burrow arrived there. Tyler Boyd has continued to play like a really, really good wide receiver too. T. Higgins has, you know, he hasn't been as consistent, you know, totally consistent this year. But when he's been on fire. And we saw it on Sunday against the Ravens. And Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, I think you and I both remember the whole conversation around Ja'Marr Chase and the drops in training camp in the preseason. People were already labeling him a bust and everything, saying they should have drafted Penei Sewell over Chase. But, you know, Chase has put together one of the best rookie seasons at wide receiver in the history of this league. And that just goes to show that it's way too early, you know, to start throwing bust labels around on big-time rookies. If you know, when they're in training camp in the preseason, you know, unless you're Isaiah Wilson, and we won't talk about that even further. But Joe Burrow has an incredible assortment of weapons, young weapons, you know, Zach Taylor and the rest of that staff. Although they aren't exceptional, they've been, you know, they've done their best and they've seen the results follow. And we've seen Joe Burrow just emerge into, you know, a bona fide star at this point. Maybe not around the league, maybe, but to Cincinnati, I think Joe Burrow is probably, you know, their what, role model? I mean, I won't say God because that's blasphemous to me, but Joe Burrow is probably like the almighty role model for Cincinnati sports fans right now. And I think they deserve it after all the heartbreak they've been through. So, It's a good time to be a Bengals fan right now. It's a good time to like Joe Burrow right now, and I'm happy for those guys. I'm happy for Joe Burrow too as well.
The Bengals are just an incredibly talented offense. When it comes down to it, when you just look at what's around them, and there are questions about how is Zach Taylor as a head coach? Does he actually bring anything to the table? I don't know about all that. I personally think that he's a tiny bit overrated just because he's just taking a bunch of stuff that's worked from other places and using it in Cincinnati. He doesn't really have his own style, which is fine. Like, you can get away with doing stuff like that, but in the crucible of the playoff, are you going to be able to make it through? But with the way the Bengals hold on to coaches, I think he is, especially if they make the playoffs, he is safe for a long, long, long time. Yep. But what they have in Cincinnati right now is really impressive. T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, C.J. Uzomah, Drew Sample, Samaje Perine. They have just a ton of really good players and really good weapons on offense around Joe Burrow. And the next thing to really elevate Joe Burrow to God status, as you were saying, Trey, is he has to break that curse. And if the Bengals can win a playoff game with Joe Burrow, look out, that city is going to love him forever. And the Bengals have their quarterback cemented for the next 20 decade. Years. Yeah. Like, he's going to be the guy forever, because they will never let him walk out of Cincinnati. Yeah. If he wins them up even one playoff game. So, I'm excited. I think the league's more fun when the Bengals are fun, because you can root for the Bengals in so many different ways. You can genuinely root for them and get your heart broken. You can root for them to be good, and you can root for the heartbreak in the playoff every year. And that's a little bit fun as well, if you like the darker side of picking things to root for. But the Bengals are back. They're 9-6. I think they are a playoff team. They've got, let's see who they've got left on their schedule here. I believe it's
Chiefs and Browns, I believe.
Chiefs, Browns. If they win this week against the Chiefs, that is
a lock.
That'll be in. They will be in for the playoffs. And the Browns, obviously, we've talked about their struggles earlier. I am really excited for Kansas City Bengals. I think that's the best game of the week, to be honest with you. I think that both defenses are good. I think both offenses are playing well right now. I'm excited to see Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow square off.
Yeah, I think that's probably the game. Like you said, that's the game of the week. I'm not sure what time that game is. I hope it's in the later afternoon so it can be in an isolated sort of time slot so it won't be just jam-packed between a whole bunch of noon games. Because that's going to be a fascinating game. You know,
it is a noon game, though, actually.
Gosh, dang it.
But it's going to be – I think it's going to be okay. The only other big noon games out there are in the AFC are really Dolphins, Titans. Everything else is kind of lackluster.
Okay. Well, that sounds good then. But either way, it's going to be a really good game. I mean, the Chiefs revitalized defense against the Joe Burrow-led offense that just put up 41 points, or what was it, 41?
I can't remember.
41 points against the Ravens. Joe Burrow's on top of the world. His weapons look great. And Patrick Mahomes is continuing to show why you shouldn't have doubted him too early. He's going up against a young Bengals team. It's just going to be a good game. I'm actually really excited for that game, and I can't really wait to see how that game unfolds, because that's the potential to be a rare late season, marquee matchup, aside from playoff seeding and all that stuff. Because usually late in the season, we get all these matchups that could coincide with playoff seeding and everything. And Chiefs Bengals does do that, of course, in terms of playoff season. But this game literally has headlines stacked all across it. And we just don't really get that this late time of year, because of scheduling, because of interdivision, stuff like that. So I'm really excited for it, and I just can't wait for it, honestly.
Yeah, meanwhile, on the other side, this feels like a big loss for the Ravens. It just feels like they're taking on water at this point. And I know there are two games left, and if they win those two games, they'd probably be a playoff team. But now the Bengals have both tiebreakers. They swept the Ravens this year, and the Ravens get the Rams this week, which is, we don't know the status of Lamar Jackson yet. It's too early in the week to know that. Tyler Huntley might be back from the COVID list. Who knows? But the Rams played a sloppy game on Sunday against the Vikings, but they're still kind of rounding into form. And I'd take the Rams over the Ravens. It just feels like this is kind of it for the Ravens. I feel like their playoff hopes are doomed at this point.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because the Ravens were completely killed by COVID and injuries this year. They've lost their corner. They've been hit with offensive line injuries. Their quarterback has been out. Their running back situation has been killed with injuries all year long. I mean, they've just been completely beaten and battered by the injury bug this year. And, these situations might give off the feeling of it being unfair, but that's just the way it's been this year for a handful of other teams this year, in terms of being completely massacred by the injury bug. So I will say kudos to John Harbaugh and that staff for keeping this team afloat during this crazy run of injuries, to the team, because a lot of teams, if they got hit with this many injuries, it would just collapse and they just folded for that season and move on into the offseason and plan for the next season. But the Ravens have stuck in there for this long, and that says a lot about that staff. But with two games coming up, and they probably maybe have to win both to get into the playoffs, and you have the Rams, you don't know what the status of Lamar Jackson is. Again, I'm not sure about their week 17 or week 18 game. I think they have the Bengals have the Steelers in week 17? The Ravens have, okay, the Browns. So
the Bengals have the Browns.
I meant the Ravens. Who do the Ravens have in week 18?
Let me pull up the schedule really quick. Ravens schedule.
I think that's a
Steelers.
Steelers, okay. Those games are always tough against the Steelers. So it's going to be a tough road, tough sledding for the Ravens to get into the playoffs this year. Just because, not because of injuries, but because they're remaining two games as well. But so, I don't know. I don't know what to really say about the Ravens at this point. I mean, it's hard to really envision them as a playoff team because of everything that they're facing right now. But if they do get in, it will be a miraculous coaching job by John Harbaugh. And maybe we see Lamar Jackson a little bit healthy and maybe they can do something. I don't know. But at this point, it's just hard to envision that. So it's tough on them.
All right, 2-minute drill really quick, and let's get out of here. Let's take a look at some of these games in week 17. Cowboys, Cardinals, Trey. This a preview of a playoff matchup, I feel like. I've been playing with the playoff simulator a little bit that I like to look at, and I usually always come up with Cardinals, Cowboys as the wild card round matchup. We've been talking about how the offense hasn't looked right. Well, they got right against the Washington defense, and now they have the Cardinals and then the NFC East to finish off the year. They have a chance to go into the playoffs really rolling. I'm starting to feel, and I know that you'll laugh at me and you'll say, we've been through this before, but I'm truly starting to believe that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender.
Look, maybe about a month ago, I would have laughed at you, but I don't know. I'm getting this weird vibe from the Cowboys now. I mean, they're starting to get their guys back, which is a big thing. They're starting to get their guys back. You know, they're starting to get healthy. They're starting to look a little bit more in sync offensively. And when the Cowboys are in sync offensively, I think their offense rivals any offense in the league. That's just how good they are offensively when they're on. Even the Chiefs. Even the Chiefs' offense, which is so dangerous, so explosive. When the Cowboys' offense is on, Kellen Moore is rolling, Dak Prescott and the rest of his weapons are rolling, that offense is rivals the Chiefs' offense, maybe even better. Who knows? But it just feels like maybe it's a different year for the Cowboys. I don't know. I mean, it's weird for me saying this because usually I'm on the train of saying, okay, it's the Cowboys. Something always happens to the Cowboys. They choke, this and that, da da da. But this year, it seems like they have their bearings together. They're starting to figure out some things offensively and defensively, and the health situation is starting to get better. The only concern I have for them is literally Mike McCarthy just being there. Mike McCarthy has been – I think this is the most ultimate carry job by talent for a head coach I've ever seen. Because Mike McCarthy – I don't think Mike McCarthy really brings anything to this Cowboys team other than just being there and throwing the challenge flag, calling timeouts, and doing whatever he has to do. So if Mike McCarthy doesn't screw anything up, then okay, I think the Cowboys agree. But if he steps in and starts doing some wacky stuff like he did during his last couple of years in Green Bay, then, you know, it might be GG's for the Cowboys. But we can't ride on hypotheticals, so it remains to be seen that happen. So, but we'll see.
All right. Before we head out, quickly give me a snapshot of Dolphins Titans. This one feels like the Dolphins are playing really well right now. But can the Titans defense limit their kind of limited offense?
Yeah, I think this is a game where it's going to be cold. It's I don't even think it's going to approach 45 degrees on Sunday. So the Miami Dolphins offense is not really all that great. I mean, it has some talent, but it's not explosive. It doesn't really scare you. And the Titans defense is really good. They have a good amount of speed now, and they're physical. And I think this is a game where with the Dolphins offensive line being as it is and the Titan passers being as good as it is, I think they can really cause the Dolphins offense some major problems on Sunday. I think the attention then would just turn towards the Titans offense and if they can get into a groove, because that Dolphins defense has been insane. And although their competition, you know, during their 7-game win streak, you know, in which their defense has been playing really good football, the competition hasn't been great and it's allowed that defense get into a groove, but the Dolphins defense has showed some major improvement So it'll I think this is a game where it's going to come down to which offense can make enough plays, because both defenses are really playing good football right now. And if I had to pick one, I'd pick the Titans offense right now, simply because A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, even though he's been a shell of himself this year, I think that's the more, you know, I think that's the more talented offense, maybe, per se. Or maybe not talented, but maybe the offense that's working, you know, that can work the best at this point. I'm trying to explain it. Maybe the offense that's more cohesive at this point. Like, yeah, let's just say that. So I think the Titans win on Sunday. I think it'll be a really close game, though. You know, since it'll be a physical game, it'll be cold. The Titans want to run the football. So I think it'll be a physical, hard-nosed, close game.
All right. Okay, Dre. Well, thanks so much, man. Always a fun time. Hopefully we have some nice time off. When do you go back to school?
In January. It's some I don't remember the exact day. I'm trying to keep my mind away from school as much as possible during the break.
All right. That's probably smart. I gotta go back January 10th. So that's coming up. But we're gonna enjoy the rest of our breaks, Trey. Thanks so much for joining me. We might do another episode this week if things get crazy, if there's any news. I feel like next week might be the week we get a lot of coaching news. Mm-hmm.
We're already getting some right now with the Jags.
Right? What's that?
The Jaguars, you know, just a barrage of tweets going through. The Jaguars, well, here's the rundown from Tom Pelissero. The Jaguars have requested to interview Doug Peterson, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, and Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn for their head coaching job.
Okay. Well, good for Todd Bowles, you know?
Yeah.
Get back on his feet. Maybe this will go better than New York did. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how all the coaching stuff goes. We'll have much more on that over these next few weeks as well. All right, Trey, thanks so much for joining me, and we will we'll see you next week or later this week. I'll see you around, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter @EndZonePod. Thanks again, and we will see you next time. Peace out.